Unit 7 is designed to present an overview of the concepts of privacy, security, and confidentiality of protected health information, or PHI, in relation to HIT systems. Threats to PHI frequently encountered in HIT environments, such as password sharing, off-site access to electronic health record systems, challenges of staff turnover and student access, unauthorized access, etc., will be detailed. Students will be exposed to simulated breaches of privacy, security, and confidentiality of PHI in lab exercises, asked to identify and propose strategies to thwart those threats. By the end of this unit, students will be able to explain what privacy, security, and confidentiality mean in general, and how these concepts apply specifically to HIT systems. Students should be able to identify common threats encountered when using HIT systems, and be able to formulate strategies to minimize these threats. The potential benefits of electronic health records, such as avoiding dangerous medical mistakes, reducing costs, and improving care, are clear. But the transition from paper records, locked away in providers' offices, towards electronic records, accessible from any location on the network, presents many new challenging risks to patient privacy. Stop for a minute and consider whether you believe your personal health records are safer sitting on a computer connected to a network, such as a local area network in an office or even accessible over the internet, or tucked away in a folder on the shelf in a clinician's office. If you are like many people in this country, you have serious concerns about your health information being digitized, especially if that digital information will be shared outside of your provider's office, or even potentially stolen by unscrupulous users on the network. Keep in mind that meaningful use requirements will dictate that this information be shared over computer networks to facilitate transactions between providers, such as the pharmacy and a physician. So the potential new risks are real. Fortunately, everyone recognizes the importance of assuring the privacy of patient information. And meaningful use requirements are very clear that the privacy and security of information in EHR systems must be ensured. As a health IT professional, you should be as concerned about the confidentiality and integrity of patient health information as you are the functions and capabilities of HIT systems that will facilitate the transformation and modernization of healthcare in this country. Ensuring security and privacy in HIT systems and the healthcare processes that they support can admittedly be a difficult, tedious process. But this work is fundamental and critically important, and in fact dictated by law. The success of the growth of HIT will depend on the trust of everyone using these systems, which will be positively influenced to a great extent by a proven record of success protecting patient privacy. The truth is that technology has the potential to greatly improve the confidentiality of health information compared to paper-based systems, if implemented properly. Security controls in such systems can allow for very fine-tuned control of access to such information, and consequently can facilitate meeting specific privacy requests of patients that wouldn't be possible with paper records. With these capabilities, patients can truly be in control of their own health information, which is a critical component required for transforming the healthcare system into one that is increasingly patient-centered. Let's first clarify what we mean by the terms privacy, security, and confidentiality. With regard to HIT, when we talk about privacy, we are talking about the right patients have to control who can store, retrieve, and share their health information. Confidentiality describes the practices a provider employs to protect the patient's privacy rights, such as permitting only certain authorized individuals to access a patient's record. Security refers to the specific safeguards or controls that are put in place to ensure the confidentiality of patient data. For example, security would include a technical safeguard that requires all individuals in the healthcare setting to log into a system using a unique account using credentials that are not shared with others, thus providing a mechanism through which confidentiality of the information can be enforced. There are many different approaches that an organization can take to address privacy and security of health information and systems under their control. Larger organizations likely already have in place information technology teams, IT security professionals, and compliance offices that may already have an established security management program, following guidelines established in formal security standards frameworks. Smaller organizations may rely on outsourced IT services with varying levels of security expertise. Others may rely on in-house IT expertise and a more ad hoc approach to security management. There are many different standards that an organization can choose to use to help guide security planning. Two of the most commonly used sources are the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO 27000 series of standards, and the National Institute of Standards, or NIST, security standards, particularly Publication 853. Other standard frameworks that are common apply to particular types of businesses or organizations and may arise from regulation applicable to a particular business sector. The most important such example to healthcare organizations is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA. We will examine in some detail in this unit the guidelines outlined in the HIPAA security rule to help build our understanding of how to approach security management and the scope of security and privacy safeguards that should be considered to protect patient health information in HIT systems.
The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, known as HIPAA, was enacted by the U.S. Congress in 1996. Its goal was to protect health insurance coverage for citizens and their families after the loss of a job, and to facilitate the standardization of health care transactions between providers, health insurance plans, and employers, a process known as administrative simplification. These provisions specified a broad range of individually identifiable health information, or protected health information, PHI, that covered entities are obligated to protect. Covered entities include health plans, health care clearinghouses, and most healthcare providers, depending on the type of billing transactions that the provider engages in. The privacy rule, which became effective in 2003 for most covered entities, established regulations for the use and disclosure of PHI, which includes information stored in paper or electronic format, as well as any type of disclosure of this information, including phone calls, faxes, and conversations. The privacy rule had a significant impact on the business operations of most healthcare organizations and has been in force now for many years. As new health IT systems come into common use, such as EHR systems, these organizations will need to ensure that their privacy policies are updated to accommodate these new systems. This will be particularly true as meaningful use criteria encourage sharing of PHI between providers. The security rule, which required compliance in 2005 for most covered entities, complements the privacy rule. It details specific security safeguards that are required for compliance and is intended to provide guidance related to the handling of electronic PHI. When the security rule became effective, many healthcare providers had only practice management and billing systems in place that contained electronic PHI. With the increasing implementations of additional health IT systems, more and more PHI is finding its way into electronic systems. So it is incumbent upon providers that they diligently evaluate the compliance of these systems with the HIPAA security rule. Let's delve into some of the details of the HIPAA security rule to learn more about the specific types of security safeguards that should be considered when implementing health IT systems. The HIPAA security rule groups its security standards into three categories: administrative safeguards, physical safeguards, and technical safeguards. Administrative safeguards are the administrative functions that should be implemented in order to ensure that the security standards are met. These include designating responsibility for security management, adoption of policies and procedures, and privacy and security training for an organization's staff. Physical safeguards are the controls put in place to protect electronic systems, hardware, and the data stored there from threats such as natural disasters and unauthorized intrusions. These may include locks on doors, special rooms, and backups to ensure that the data can be retrieved. Technical safeguards are the automated controls used to protect electronic data and to control access. Examples include using authentication controls to ensure the identity of a person accessing a health IT system containing electronic PHI, as well as encryption standards for data stored in health IT systems and transferred between them. Diving down into more detail, the HIPAA security rule defines administrative safeguards as, quote, administrative actions and policies and procedures to manage the selection, development, implementation, and maintenance of security measures to protect electronic protected health information and to manage the conduct of the covered entity's workforce in relation to the protection of that information. The number of safeguards included in this category comprises a majority of the HIPAA security requirements. Effective administration of a security program is fundamental to all security efforts. Let's look at each of these safeguards more carefully. The first standard, security management process, requires healthcare organizations to implement policies and procedures to prevent, detect, contain, and correct security violations. An effective process of security management will include risk analysis, risk management, a sanction policy. An organization will not be able to determine what safeguards they should implement if they don't first carefully evaluate what their risks are. It wouldn't make sense, for example, to implement a wonderful, new, expensive technology to prevent access to a system that may not, in fact, contain any sensitive information. After carefully evaluating what your risks are and how best to address them, to ensure that the adopted safeguards are properly implemented and followed. If members of the staff do not follow the risk management plan, you should have a sanction policy to deal with these violations. Finally, to discover these violations as well as to detect attempts to circumvent security safeguards, you must actively review system activity. These include audit logs, access reports, network activity logs, and security incident reports. The next safeguard is to ensure that an organization has designated someone who has responsibility for the security of all systems containing electronic PHI. This may seem obvious and unnecessary to include as a formal requirement, but when a security incident occurs, electronic PHI is breached, there is often finger-pointing that occurs in an organization. Determining upfront who ultimately is responsible for security will help prevent finger-pointing after something bad happens. Although someone must ultimately be responsible for the organization's security plan, this does not mean that the individual cannot designate specific security responsibilities to others. The third and fourth administrative safeguards, workforce security and information access management, dictate that an organization must have policies and procedures in place that specify who is permitted to have access to electronic PHI and who isn't, and to grant permissions, but also these policies and procedures should not only spell out who should have access, but also how that is determined and who has the authority to determine it. For example, access might be based on a detailed job description. An organization should have procedures in place to deal with employee turnover or other type of changing roles of staff or contractors. This is to ensure that access to electronic PHI is terminated when it's no longer appropriate for an individual to have it. In other words, it is not simply an all-or-nothing access. For example, a clerical position that handles appointment scheduling for patients is unlikely to need access to see a patient's problem list or diagnoses, particularly for sensitive problems such as mental health issues or a diagnosis of HIV. The fifth administrative safeguard, security awareness and training, dictates that a healthcare organization must, quote, implement a security awareness and training program for all members of its workforce, including management, close quote. Many safeguards that are implemented to protect the security of systems containing electronic PHI require cooperation on the part of the organization's workforce to be effective. For example, the use of authentication controls, in other words, username and passwords, is a very common security safeguard that allows for a system to uniquely identify users and to limit access based on that user's role. This safeguard is completely defeated if users share their passwords with other users. The training needs to make clear why certain security safeguards must be followed, how to follow them, and what the sanctions are if they are not followed. Security awareness may also be accomplished with login monitoring, such as reporting to the user on failed login attempts, and password management, such as policies and procedures to prevent the sharing of passwords and how and when to change passwords. The sixth administrative standard, security incident procedures, dictates that covered entities must have policies and procedures in place to deal with security incidents. A security incident is an unauthorized attempt, successful or not, to access, use, disclose, modify, or destroy information in an information system, or to interfere with the operations of such a system. When these incidents happen, the organization must have procedures in place to appropriately respond to and report such incidents. A contingency plan should be in place for all organizations to proactively prepare for emergencies that might prevent access to electronic PHI, such as power outages, natural disasters, system failure, or any other disruption of critical business operations. The contingency plan should include policies and procedures for data backup, disaster recovery, which means how to get systems and data back online after a failure, and plans for emergency operation, such as how to conduct business while systems are down. These procedures should be tested regularly to ensure that they will work if something bad does happen. It's also important to carefully analyze how critical each system is in order to prioritize the level of backup, disaster recovery, and emergency operation for each of the systems. The evaluation standard emphasizes the importance of regularly evaluating the organization's security program to ensure that electronic PHI is adequately protected. Finally, the Business Associate Contracts and Other Arrangements standard requires that any individual or organization that enters into an agreement with a covered entity must require that the business associate safeguard electronic PHI.
This completes Unit 7A, Protecting Privacy, Security, and Confidentiality in HIT Systems.